thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
Time now to look at audio description, and it's part of the show where we encourage you to find out about audio description in theatre, cinema. It might be a recital. You just don't know. But one man who does know is our man in the stalls, Vidar Hjerning, and he joins us now. Hello.
How are you, Simon?
I'm well, thank you. And you've been off to the opera.
I have. A night at the opera. It was in Cardiff, actually. Indoor Millennium Centre, focusing on Welsh National Opera productions. And the one that they chose to audio describe in their current run is, a real time-honoured favourite, La Bohème by Puccini. And I don't know whether you know the opera at all, Simon, whether indeed you're an opera buff. Or...
Do you know what? You do know that I'm not an opera buff. You know that fine well, Vida.
Well, you might know La Bohème.
Do you know, I have done from the past, but I couldn't really. I had a look through it today as well, but I'm not an expert, no.
Well, it's actually an opera, I would say. If people don't know opera or feel they don't really understand opera or feel, oh, I think it's not for me, I would say it's one of those that would be a really good introduction. It's very, well, it's a couple of hours, so it's not mega short, but it's not as long as many. And there are some absolutely gorgeous melodies in it and some very famous melodies and arias that I'm sure that even if you didn't know they were from La Bohème, you would, I think, recognize them. So, fairly straightforward story set on Christmas Eve in Paris and four young men, the student, philosopher, writer, etc., sitting in their garret. They don't earn very much. It's a bit of an impoverished setup. They're trying to sort of find money for the landlord and things. And their neighbour, Mimi, who in fact is also known as Lucia, which I didn't know until last Friday's introductory note, so there you go, sort of knocks on the door and says that her candle has gone out and have they got a light and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, the long and short of it is that within minutes, she and one of these young men have fallen in love. And that's sort of a love story which takes us through to the end of the opera. Act two is very, very... all action-packed set with sort of Christmas Eve frivolities in the cafe and lots of partying, lots of action. And that's fun. Then sort of as the opera moves on to its denouement and climax, things sadly get a little bleaker, but I won't say too much more than that. But simply perhaps worth saying that all doesn't end happily ever after.
Do you know, I actually remember it. I think it was the 90s when I last saw this. And it was just when you were talking about the music. It's a big draw with it.
It is. And particularly, I would suggest in Act 1, I mean, there's a very famous aria, Your Tiny Hand is Frozen, the English translation, for example. And I guess, you know, talking about Puccini's operas generally, anyone not familiar with opera or perhaps wanting to learn a bit more about it, whether it's La Bohème, whether it's Madame Butterfly, whether it's Tosca, they're all eminently enjoyable and great stories, easy to follow stories, quite powerful drama, and some great music in there as well. In terms of the audio description, which is, I guess, the focus or the chief focus of what we try and talk about on a Friday afternoon, it's very much a question of you know, Welsh National Opera once again doing their utmost to make you welcome and give you the, you know, all-embracing tour on stage. Julia Carson-Sims, actually, from WNO, is always now on hand as the stage manager to talk you through the set along with the describers. And we had the Sightlines team. There are three describers, Jonathan Nash, Julia Grundy, and Margaret Spittles. They were all there on this occasion. So spoilt we were with people to assist us around and talk to us about the characters, the costumes, the set. And for me, I have once been to the Millennium Centre before, but that was a few years ago, so always interesting to experience a different venue, actually. And each venue has its own perspective in terms of size, shape, all the rest of it. So that was great. Interesting to see the set, quite a simple set, but a very effective set. And lighting is crucial, and that was explained to us. And obviously, that's always a bit of a difficult one, because there'll be some people who may have lost their sight or some with partial vision, but who have had better vision in the past, who will identify with colour and light and that sort of thing. Perhaps more difficult for those who've had no sight at all, but nonetheless worth hearing all about it, because, you know, all of that has a resonance in terms of people's appreciation of the opera. So yeah, there we go. That was very, very engaging. And I'm a bit like Hamlet. Hamlet is one of my favorite plays. La Bohème is one of my favorite operas. Been lucky enough to see both on a number of occasions over the years. And I guess the fact that you don't tire after it each time to tell you something, that it's still got something there.
What about the actual audio description of the opera? Because, again, there's singing going on, there's music, there's a lot going on. How does the audio description fit in and not basically crash some of the music?
That's a good question, because as with so many audio-described performances, there is a clearly, carefully crafted script which the describers put together, having seen rehearsals and what have you of the production in hand. And very much that is tailored to avoid any potential clashing with lyrics or dialogue or anything. Slightly easier, I guess, in something like a musical or arguably an opera, because where it's a straight play, where it is unremitting dialogue, then there isn't as much time to weave in description and all that sort of thing. But in an opera, you can, albeit you perhaps talk over the actual music, the orchestral music, but you can do it in such a way that you clearly leave the arias to breathe. And Margaret Spittles and Julia, who were describing on this occasion, did exactly that. And really, because there are such famous arias in it, let those breathe and let people really enjoy those. At the same time, though, what was quite clever is that without sort of word-for-word translating what was being sung, they actually paraphrased some of that in their descriptions. So what they were saying was, you know, such and such is happening, but also saying that, you know, now he's saying this, that, and the next thing, or she's replying or whatever. So paraphrasing some of what was being sung, so that was sort of carefully woven into your understanding of the story and the onstage action. So that was effective.
So there's a credible amount of work goes into the audio description, and I don't know if you call it an art, but it's more like a science.
Yeah, you could argue both.
Yeah.
I mean, it is to do it well and to do it properly, one has to be very well trained and very skilled. And it's all about the careful use of vocabulary, you know, what is, somebody doesn't necessarily just walk onto the stage, they might stride on or briskly, do you know what I mean? It's conveying through words, the pictures in your mind that you can imagine what is happening.
A disappointed look on his face.
Right. It is a very exacting and very demanding job. And I think those of us able to benefit from audio description, and hopefully increasingly more and more people will be doing just that, will, you know, be able to enjoy it because of the professionalism, the hard work, the planning, as you say, Simon, preparation of those who provide the service.
So if you would like to try out audio description and you haven't yet, then look for something that you would like to see and then get in touch and ask them perhaps whether they actually have an audio described performance.
Indeed.
And then take it from there.
An opera, you know, more and more opera is being described. I think up in your neck of the woods, Simon, Scottish Opera do provide that. Opera North, I know, do, and they often travel to the Lowry, to Newcastle Theatre Royal, to Grand, which is their base in Leeds, and also Nottingham Theatre Royal, for example, to name but a few. And it is increasingly prevalent. Yeah, it is. That's a good word.
Yeah, and readily available.
Indeed.
Well, Vidan, I would love to hear from you if you've even if you're a regular user of audio description. Love to hear from you, but get in touch here at RNIB Connect Radio and let us know your thoughts. But in the meantime, Vidan, always a pleasure to chat with you.
And you, Simon, and keep warm, everybody, and have a nice weekend.
Yeah, see you soon.
Take care.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.